hear the word of the Lord. For to us a child is born, a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord. This passage speaks of government. It speaks of rule, of royal reign. This passage undoubtedly, without any mistake, refers directly to Jesus Christ. Although there was in mind one who preceded Jesus Christ, who was in many ways typical of Christ. And that was the son of David that was designated to be David's successor. Now, David had many sons, as you know. He had several wives, and so that helped a little bit. And he had a large family. And David's sons were quite capable young men in many ways. And they were dynamic, and they were strong, and they were quite present in the kingdom. This was the first time that the king of Israel, of course, David was the second king of Israel, the first king of the United Kingdom, had a significant presentation and a manifest dynasty. The Lord had promised David that his son would reign and his son after him, and there would never cease to be upon the throne a son of David. And so whoever succeeded David would be a most significant person. David had many sons. One son was extremely capable, extremely handsome, extremely popular, very pragmatic, and very ambitious. And he sought to take the throne of his father David, a man by the name of Absalom. Absalom. Now, in order to really appreciate Absalom and Solomon, you've got to understand something about Hebrew letters. That's right. It's not even 9 o'clock in the morning. We're going to study a little Hebrew. Matter of fact, my Hebrew class in seminary was it at 9 o'clock in the morning. Most Hebrew letters have three what's called radicals or three roots. Three key letters. And then around those letters, there are preformatives and subformatives and vowel points and all of that that fill out the language. But the three letters become very significant because there are strong indications from these three letters in any word that you'll see multiple meanings. And just to transliterate for a moment, the three letters would be S-L-M. All of the great words like Melech and Barith and Hesed, all of those great Hebrew words that we hear from the pulpit every now and then, they all seem to have these three radicals, these three roots, these three consonants that form it. And S-L-M is one of those strong words. In fact, it's used 350 times in the Hebrew text. And to show how rich it is, it takes 30 words to translate it. It's translated that many times. And S-L-M is the word, we get our word shalom. Also the ancient name that was used to name cities, Salem. And the predominant translation is the word peace. Jerusalem, the city of peace. And names are derived from those three radicals, S-L-M, as was the name of Absalom, S-L-M, Salam. Ab, or Av, at the beginning, means father. So Absalom's name meant father of peace. In other words, he was someone who was expected to step forward and to fulfill the prophecies of the dynasty. And there was one other thing Absalom had going for him, and that is that his father loved him and admired him, and all of David's affections and attractions were turned toward Absalom. Absalom, my son, my son. He loved Absalom. But just like Abraham had loved Ishmael, he was not the son of the promise. There was something that would transcend human affection, and that would be divine appointment. And God told David in time. Of course, you know the story of Absalom. We don't have time for it today, but he rebelled against his father, led an insurrection, and ended up having to be defeated militarily in order for David's throne to survive. Solomon, whose name S-L-M, Shalom, Solomon, his name means the man of peace. He was given the throne through the prophet Nathan and his mother Bathsheba. The favors of King David moved then towards Solomon, and Solomon was the designated son of David. He was the son of promise. He was the son of prophecy. He was the man of peace. And peace typified the reign of King Solomon. In fact, many of the times the word shalom is used in the Old Testament, it has something to do with the kingship of Solomon. Solomon's reign was typified by shalom. Now, what does shalom mean? Well, usually I try not to have too many notes when I preach, but I just had to write these down because I knew I wouldn't remember them all. Let me run you through for a minute the concepts that are carried in this word shalom. Shalom is a large vessel that carries rich concepts. The first we might think of right easily because it's the word that principally gives us the connotations in our English language, and that is peace means the cessation of war, the cessation of violence, coming to the end of some conflict and having a resolution of that conflict. And that, of course, is part of what shalom means. One of the significant things about the reign of King Solomon was there was very little war during the days of King Solomon. David fought all the time. He fought the Philistines. He fought the Edomites. He fought everybody constantly, subduing the enemies of God. In that sense, David is a type of Christ. But then Solomon's administration and reign brought peace. The enemies were subdued. And shalom means peace. It means rest, quiet, calmness, settledness, safety, security, steadfastness. Do you ever long for any of those things in your life? Do we ever long for any of those things in our larger community? Do we long and pray for any of those things in our nation and in the international community? You see, the fourth throne name for Jesus Christ is Prince of Peace. Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. And that is precisely what Jesus brings. And as I go through some of these ideas and these notions of what shalom means, think of Christ as bringing and providing that for you on the personal level, on the corporate level, the national and international scene. Christ brings shalom, peace. Another meaning that's wrapped up in this word peace is prosperity, wealth, gain, growth. That typified Solomon's reign, by the way. He not only had peace because his father had subdued the enemies round about Israel, but because he controlled the entire nation of Israel, that little strip of land that was the very center of the Fertile Crescent, he controlled all the trade routes. They wouldn't go across the Arabian Desert. They would come around and come down the Mediterranean coast, which means they came right through Israel from Dan to Beersheba on the way to the coastal marketplaces of Phoenicia as well as Egypt and down into that part of the world. Solomon, during his reign, controlled every one of those trade routes. Do you think he collected a tariff? Do you think he collected a few taxes and tolls along the way? He absolutely did, and he accumulated wealth. He also owned all of the bronze, all of the copper mines in that part of the world down through there, going down to Ebion Gezer and those areas that go down to the Persian Gulf. He controlled all of that. And when you control the copper mines in the Bronze Age, you begin to accumulate Gates-type wealth. And that's exactly what happened during the days of King Solomon. He became the wealthiest man on earth during his day. Christ brings us in a much greater sense greater riches. When Christ came, he had an interesting little line in some of his teaching. He says, "Behold," using the language of the prophets, Christ said, "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Whatever Solomon was able to do with the splendor of his rule and reign in Israel, it was just a flickering forecast of the greater thing that Christ would do. Another notion in this idea of shalom is the idea of health. Health, well-being, being integrated, healthy, whole, having a restoration and a reestablishment of integrity, not only in the physical body, but in relationships. We would call it today having integrity or having good, wholesome relationships. That's what the word shalom meant. I don't know if any of you, like I have for years, been a little bit aggravated and bothered a little bit by the health and wealth gospel preaching that we hear so much on television and radio and other places. And the health and wealth gospel where they basically tell you that if you'll do certain things in almost a ritualistic way, and it usually involves giving some money, then you will be blessed. And by the way, the word shalom is the word that's used for a greeting, hello, and goodbye. And it's the word for peace that also carries with it the blessing. A lack of shalom is the curse. And so these health and wealth gospel preachers preach this shallow notion of you do a few things, pray a few prayers, give some money, usually to them and their ministry. Then the Lord will reward you tenfold, and they have seed faith giving and all of these other things that they attach to it and all of that sort of thing. And I think we need to be we need to look at that with the jaundiced eye a little bit. I don't think that's strong as it should be. But they're on to a kernel of truth. They've got something. That's why I think that they have sometimes the prosperity that they enjoy, is that there's a certain truth to what they're saying. There is a very real sense in which Christ brings health and wealth. Now, it must be tempered by our understanding of the progressive nature, because one of the things that is inherent in the word shalom is the idea of distance. The fulfillment and the completion is not going to be completed until some distance. In fact, there are several words in the Greek text that translate shalom. The word irene, the word for peace, is used quite often. That's the word we often see in the text where Jesus and others are talking about peace. But there's also the word sosa, which means salvation. So there's a sense in which shalom is the whole package of salvation. But another word that's used to translate it is the word teleos, which means, tele means distant. A telescope sees to distant. Television is to see from a distance. And teleos means that there's some distance there. And that's what we've got to grasp. Christ brings wholeness, health, wealth, prosperity, peace, restoration, completeness, all of these things, but with a certain distance, with a certain off there later, a certain eschatological or in time nature of its fulfillment. That's why now we must walk by faith and not by sight. Because if we could just do something quickly and have the whole abundance of the health and the wealth and the peace and all that's involved in shalom, if we could have shalom in its completeness here and now, there would be no need for faith. Because we would have it, our eyes would see it, and we'd possess it. But we must have faith, and our faith must have an object to look at, and that object is none other than Jesus Christ Himself. He is the one to whom we look for the shalom. He is the Prince of Peace. When He fully establishes, He's in the process of doing it now. Christ rules and reigns now, and has been ruling and reigning since resurrection morning, when He was crowned with glory and honor, when He was raised up, according to Peter in the book of Acts, to sit upon the throne of His father David, when He was enthroned in heaven. He's ruling even this minute. It has been for generations. But the way He rules and the nature of His kingdom is that of development, of progress, of movement toward a completion. And that's where we have to implore our people to keep their eyes upon Christ, to keep the faith, to keep going, to keep striving, to continue to grow and to mature and to move toward that day. But I promise you, upon the authority of the Word of God, as a humble herald of the King, that day is coming. And the longer I live, and the more I see going on in our country and our society and around the world, the more I read history and see what has been the rise and fall and the ebb and flow of human history, depraved, sinful human beings who have not bowed their knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who have not come under His governance, who do not obey His laws, who have not sworn allegiance to Him, and who are not following Him, the more I long for the day when He brings it to pass in its completion and in its absolute fulfillment. If we have Christ, we have shalom. We have all of those things, the integrity, the harmony. There's even a notion of truth in there. Shalom. Jesus Himself used that word quite a bit. He said such things as, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives." There's a qualitative difference between the health and the prosperity and the peace and all of that that seems to be the notion that the world is willing to promote and accept, and the peace which Christ gives us. Paul, finally, just in exclamation in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, just simply sums it up. Christ is our peace.